Thank you, praise team. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I do not have notes for you today, so we'll just wing it. But we are in lesson number 11 in our study of faith. In 1978, when the Lord spoke to me at camp meeting with Brother Kenneth Hagin, the Lord said to raise up a church and to teach his people faith. It has been the underlying part of this ministry, and there are some folks who say, well, I want to hear something besides faith. Faith is probably the most important message you'll ever hear. The Word of God does not say without prayer it's impossible to please God. The Word of God does not say without tongues and interpretation it's impossible to please God. The Word of God does not say without study it's impossible to please God. It says without faith, or apart from faith being activated and active in your life, it's impossible to bring pleasure to God. The children of Israel in the wilderness did a whole lot of sinning. They did things that would get you kicked out of the most liberal church. And yet, what did God say his displeasure was? With their fornication, their drinking, their worshiping other God? No. Their unbelief. You won't believe me and what I've already prepared for you. And there are people sitting on church property today filled with unbelief. They do not believe that God will prosper them. They do not believe that God will heal them. They do not believe that God will do exceeding abundant above and beyond all they can ask or comprehend. They are simply holding on in case there really is a God, the Bible really is true, and they don't want to go to hell. And Judith, they're missing out on all that could be theirs if they would lay hold. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Faith is important for you because with faith you find newness of life in the anointed Redeemer. With faith you conquer poverty, you conquer lack, you conquer sickness, you conquer disease. With faith you rise up to change creation and bring about kingdom reality into the earth. With faith, you can do all things. Through faith, you can prevail. In faith, you can stand strong in the midst of a hairy attack and not be moved by it. Faith is the way God has chosen to allow his people to take possession and ownership of his promises. God makes a promise, and through faith, you lay hold of that promise, take possession of it, and make it your own. You take ownership of it. Faith is the only way you can take ownership of salvation. Faith is the only way to take ownership of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Faith is the only way to take ownership of healing, of prosperity, of grace, of peace, of the ability to lay down, Kenneth, at night, close your eyes, and fall asleep knowing there's nothing between you and eternity. I listened to the Lord this week and I put together the message that he had given me. And then when I got up this morning, I started reading through the notes and the Lord said, listen to this. And I said, what? And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just as I, in my immense wisdom, was about to inform God that the message today was on faith, God said, is there any greater passage on faith than that? And y'all know I'm not always as quick as I should be. And while I'm trying to think of a verse that beats that one, like I'm going to top God. I don't know. Y'all probably never have these discussions, but for me, God is real. We just talk. And as I'm about to, John, make the mistake of trying to hit God with one-upsmanship, and I'm going to find a better verse on faith than that, God said, it's all in the verse. And I went, huh? Because I'm looking for these jewels that I can bring that will totally transform your thinking so that you can prevail in every situation of life, so that Napoleon, when hell itself is knocking on your front door, you go, just get. I ain't even got time to mess with you. Just get. You're not startled. You're not shocked. You're not in fear. You just get. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Amen. But it's not just money. It's wealth of mind. It's wealth of spirit. Yes. It's wealth of health. It's wealth in every facet and dimension of your life. Amen. You see, wealth is not money. And money is not wealth. If you think money is wealth, the next time you've got a death sentence from a doctor, try and put a 50 on it and see if it changes. Put a couple of, you know, yards of long green on it. It ain't going to change it. Because faith will get for you what money never can. And I found that with faith, I could get a 50, and I found that I can get millions. Because by faith, I've possessed millions. Yes. Because God is faithful. Amen. And I'm about to do with faith what I haven't done yet. I've made $1 million several times. But I want to make $1 million in one day. Yes. Not over a period of weeks, months, years. I want to make it in one day. Yes. And I'm going to do it repeatedly. Yes. Why? Because once you do it, you can do it again. But not only am I going to do it, people in this body. Amen. Because there's millionaires right here. Amen. Not coming. There are millionaires coming. Because when they find out how many of you are millionaires, you know, they will gravitate and say, oh, how'd you get yours? My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. I'm just behaving like home folk. And all my home folk are rich. God doesn't call poor people. Someone said, God must like poor people. He made so many of them. No, he didn't. God made every person rich. Sin made them poor.
That's right.
For God so loved that he gave his Holy Son so that all who place faith in that gift may have life on the God level, and all the gift of his Son can and will provide. Faith worketh by love, for love empowered the door through which every good and perfect gift must come. For God so loved that he gave a doorway into heaven's abundance. That begins with eternal life and never ends. Every good and perfect gift came through that one gift. Now, some of y'all aren't following me. You're still thinking about other things. May I have your attention, please? Get this. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables nor shadow turning. When did those gifts come down? In the person of his Son. For in the person of his Son, you have salvation. You have eternal life. You have healing. With his stripes you were healed. Himself became poor that you might become rich. Himself took your grief and your sorrows. The chastisement of your peace, or renewed relationship with God, was upon him. He, in that gift, God provided your reinstatement to sonship. Your reestablishment in the household of God. In that gift, Everything you'll ever want, you'll ever need. And the Lord showed me this. He said, I said, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask because you want it, not because I've already given it to you. Or to consume on your own lust. Yes, Pastor Jim, that's them people smoking and drinking and cursing and toking and joking. No, no, no. To consume on your own lust was a 16th century Old English phrase which meant this. You're asking because you want it, not because I have given it to you. Just like people, they're running around. God, heal me. Oh, God, heal me. Oh, God, if you don't heal me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, they're in unbelief because it is ungodly to ever pray, God, heal me. Because the very premise of that prayer says, God, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And my flesh is telling me you haven't, so right. Therefore, I want you to. And you're praying because you want to consume it on your own desires, not to establish the credibility of His Word.
Glory. Amen.
I don't pray, God, heal me. I'll never pray that prayer again because it's an ungodly, unfounded prayer. Don't you ever pray, God, heal me. Well, Pastor, how do I pray? I pray His Word. Father, I thank You that with His stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. Since I is healed, this lie's got to go. Filthy lie of sickness, get off of my flesh.
Amen.
You're trespassing on blood-bought property, and I'm not putting up with it.
Praise God.
Why would I pray and ask God to do what He said He's done? That's calling God a liar. That's denying God's Word. Now you want the God you just called a liar and you've denied His Word. Now you want Him to do something for you, not because it's His will, His plan, His purpose, but because you want it. And it's the same with everything. I don't ask God to save you because you don't want to go to hell. I ask God to save you to fulfill His promise that I have come that you might have life and
yes.
have it more abundantly.
Yes. Yes.
I am sick and tired of garbage preachers having altar calls and telling everybody, come down and tell God all the things you did wrong.
No.
It's ungodly. It's unscriptural. And it's not nice to even talk about those things in church.
That's right.
You know what you did. I ain't saying. I'm just thinking. No. He said, if you'll confess that Yeshua is Lord. Lord over what? Over everything that was unlike God's perfect will for Adam before he fell. And He walks with me and He talks with me. I love sermons because I can sing them. And He tells me, I am His own.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God.
You see, God wants you to have everything. But every good and perfect gift came down from the Father of lights in the person of His Son.
Yes.
Because with Him, you obtain everything. In fact, in Him, you are seated back at the right hand of God in eternal fellowship.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I still have this problem with. There's only one problem you got to worry about. Do you believe God? Because He didn't in the will of Satan. Now listen, I want y'all to stop this fornicating. I want you to stop this fuss and fighting. I want you to stop this judging Moses. I want you to stop this rejecting Aaron. I want you to stop bowing down to other idols. He just said, here's the whole picture. Believe me.
Yeah.
Believe what I have for you. But because they wouldn't believe that God had houses they didn't build. Now stop. Do you believe God has a house for you you didn't build?
Amen.
If under a lesser covenant with lesser promises they got houses they didn't build, what you doing trying to save up for a down payment?
Well, hallelujah.
Good talk. That's glory.
Pastor, I want to build my house. I don't. I don't want to build my house. I want to find a nice little peasant shack, about 5,000 square feet, you know, about a million two, that somebody else, without knowing it, God had them build it to my specifications because he knew what I had need of before I asked. So I don't have to sit down and go, I want the white granite countertops. No, wait, I want Corian marble. No, ain't no such thing as Corian marble. Corian is fake and marble isn't. Okay, let's see. No, he knows what I like, and he knows what I want, and he knows where it needs to be. All I got to do is listen and let him lead me to it and say, thank you. Church, we have wasted faith because we keep using thinking we're using faith when we're not, because faith don't work that way. It's like trying to go down the highway with your car in neutral. It don't go. You have to engage it according to its purpose, and you have to engage faith according to its purpose. You never use faith to get what you want. You use faith to appropriate what he's promised, that by these promises you might become partakers of the divine nature, ruling in life, ruling over sickness, ruling over lack, ruling over fear, ruling over doubt, ruling over separation. You see, when you read the Bible, it actually teaches you things. Faith was never meant for you to use to get what you want. In fact, he plainly told you. The reason your faith isn't working is you're praying because of your desires, not to glorify me and say, God, it's your will for me to be healed. It's not your will for me to be sick. Therefore, I'm casting off this yoke of physical oppression, and I'm walking in the blood-bought newness you have for me as an example of your power and your presence and your perfect promise. Amen. That tells me with his stripes I was made whole, and whole don't have a runny nose.
Hallelujah.
Whole don't have headaches. Amen. Whole don't have weak, sinking feelings. Whole is a big word that means nothing lacking. But people continually waste their time and refuse to believe God's word when he said, don't pray because you want it, because I've already given you a promise that covers it. Pray to see my promise fulfilled, because if you're praying because you want it, I can't give it to you, because that glorifies your desire and not my faithfulness. One more time, church. I'm teaching about faith. Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. After all, I heard Brother Triple Digit teaching, and he said there are 8 ways to use your faith to make God answer you. Well, after Brother Triple Digit has faced death 3 times, had 3 open heart surgeries, gone through 7 months in the hospital, and walked out on the day he said he would walk out with $3 million in bills paid, not written off as bad debt, paid in full. Then you tell him to come talk to me. Because I'm like James. You show me your faith without a trophy case, and I'll show you my faith with my trophy case, because I've seen God faithful. I've celebrated 13 months without pay by going out and buying a new house and a new car. Well, Pastor, you can't buy a new house and a new car if you hadn't been paid in 13 months. Yes, you can. We can do it, can't we, Winnie? Not once, but twice. Twice. 13 months behind in pay. What'd you do, Pastor Jim? I celebrated God, and I just kept living better. Because I found out with God, I can live better without a paycheck than I can with one. Well, Pastor, that's not possible. That's because you're dumb. I don't have to be smart, although I am. All I have to be is willing to find out what God said on any subject, and Ethel just go, that's the way it is. You said you supply all of my need. Therefore, there will not be enough need to ever get me down. And there have been times that I needed thousands of dollars by a certain date. There's been times that I needed hundreds of thousands of dollars by a certain date. There have been times I needed millions of dollars by a certain date. And you know what I found? My God.
Amen.
Supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. And so when the Lord spoke to me today after, count them, I had 3 pages of handwritten notes on what faith is. And then God said, addendum to the notes. He didn't actually say that, but that's what he was saying. For God so loved that he gave his Holy Son so that all who place faith in that gift may have life on the God level. And on the God level, there's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no poverty. There's no grief. There's no sorrow. There's no hurt. There's no judgment. And all that the gift of his Son can and will provide. Faith worketh by love, for God so loved that he gave. Oh, church, come on. Faith worketh by love, and God so loved that he gave the gift that keeps on giving. For love empowered the door. You remember Acts, the door of faith, the door of utterance? Through which every good and perfect gift must come down. Get this. When he came down, he didn't come down empty-handed. He came down with everything we would ever need, and he left it here for us, and then went back and sat down with us and said, enjoy.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeshua is the gift that just keeps on giving. He makes all things possible. He is our all in all. He is health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance, life on the God level. He is the way, the truth, the life, and the abundance King's kids are to enjoy in the more abundant life God has sent him to give us. He said, I am come that you might have life on the God level and the abundance that kind of life provides. Abundance of mind, of spirit, of body, of everything. But quit praying for God to do what you want him to do and start looking at the promises he made you. God said, I've prepared a land that flows with milk and honey. And what did they say? We want some meat to die. You hear me? Meat. We want some meat. We're tired of this bread stuff. Every morning we get up and it's raining bread. We're getting tired of getting up every morning and it's raining bread. And I told you a long time ago, the Lord stopped me one day and he said, what's manna? And I went, you're asking me? I mean, some kind of bread. He said, what is manna? And I said, okay, I'll do some study. So I went and looked up. You know what manna is? Manna is a term that means what is it? People got up one morning, they walked out, and they go, what is it? And I said, okay, manna is what is it? I imagine if I got up in the morning, walked out of my tent, and it had rained bread, I'd go, what is it? I want to know which one of them former slaves was the first one that went, I'm going to pick this up. I'm going to put this in my mouth, and I'm going to see what happens. Angel food cake all over the place. My favorite. I love lemon angel food cake. I'm still believing God is going to send us a cook to this church that knows how to cook without sugar. Although everything in it within me is lusting for a big sugary piece, but lemon, angel food cake without sugar. Father, I thank you that you know what I have need of even before I ask. Not because I desire it. You buying this? Faith is the ability to lay hold of, adapt to, an alternate reality to what your senses are reporting. Faith is the ability to lay hold of and adapt to an alternate reality to what the senses report. Your senses say, I'm sick. But I've got to adapt to an alternate reality that says, with his stripes I was healed. And if I can do that, I can walk in that health.
Amen.
Mark 11, 23, 24. Y'all remember that one?
Yes, sir.
It's found in the book with the Kenneth Hagin bookmark. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. But does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says, Job 22:28, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established for you, is going to happen. It will be granted him. Not doubt in the heart. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe when you pray that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. I've got to believe right now that with his stripes I was healed, for healing to come to me. I've got to believe right now that my God supplies all of my need, for need supply to come to me. I've got to believe right now that God is true and his word works. Because the children of Israel, when God said, I've got a land for you that flows with milk and honey. Cities you didn't build. Houses you didn't build. Vineyards you didn't tend. Orchards you didn't tend. Crops you didn't plant. And the people who did all the work, when you get there, they're going to go, here's my house, here's my farm, here's my vineyard, and can I work them for you? You just go ahead and sit down, and I'll bring you some of your crops that I planted for you before you got here. Is that all right with you? Pastor, that's too good to be true. No. That's not good enough to be true. Because that was a lesser covenant with lesser promises made to people that God didn't even like. He loves me.
Amen.
And I have a better covenant with better promises. Therefore, my house better not be made out of mud bricks.
Right.
My house better have indoor plumbing. Granite countertops. It better have central heat. Gas. Don't want no electric cooking and electric heat. It don't work anyway. I know, I've had it. Gas is better. Master, I want a new modern electric home. Not on a cold day, you don't. And when you really want to cook, you know you need gas. Therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them,
right.
Faith,
and
they will be granted to you. I believe today, and it's coming.
Yes, sir.
I can't see it, can't feel it, can't touch it, but it's on its way.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because I have his word on
Amen.
It.
That's right. That's good.
Matthew 21. In Matthew 21,
okay.
Drop down to the, well, let's go to the 21st verse. Matthew 21, 21. And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith, total trust in, reliance on, and adherence to God said, and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It didn't say all things you ask in prayer. It qualified it. The prayer of faith. Faith faith, no doubt. Ask in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is returning God's word to himself. Well, Pastor, I thought prayer was telling Jesus what I want. No, that's why yours don't work. Prayer is never telling God what you want. God explained prayer to you. He said, my word will not return to me void. Did you find a verse anywhere that said your requests won't return void? No, he said you ask and don't have because you're asking for what you want, not for what I promised you. Well, Pastor, he doesn't promise me what I want. Well, either one, you dumb. Two, you don't have a Bible. Or three, you can't read. Well, Pastor, that's pretty cold. I'm offended. Oh, grow up. I'll offend you sooner or later anyway, so you might as well get it over today. It's not because of who you are. It's because of what you sat under.
Right.
Most of your life you were taught doubt and fear and unbelief. You weren't taught the truth. Your Bible says they are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Yes, sir.
And by laying hold of these promises, you can become a partaker of the divine nature ruling over those things that would oppose you.
Amen.
So if God said there's a promise that covers it, you can't tell me it ain't covered. Whatever it is Nancy wants, there's a promise in the new covenant that addresses it. But she's not to ask because she wants it. She's to ask that God's word might be fulfilled in her. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? The difference is, are you in charge of what happens in your life, or is God in charge? If I want it because I want it, then I'm in charge and God is my gopher.
Right.
But if I want it because he's promised it to me, then he's in charge and I'm glorifying him by accepting his gift. So which is easier to pray? God, heal me. I hurt so bad. Oh, God, please heal me. Or I approach him as he is, the giver of good gifts. Father, I thank you that you already, knowing 2,000 years before this headache came, you knew I would need to be healed. And with his stripes, I was made whole. For 2,000 years, my health has been waiting on me to show up and receive it. So today, I'm marking this day. Today, I receive your health in my life. And therefore, since I'm receiving your life, there ain't room enough in me for your life and this curse. Curse, you got to go.
Amen.
You see, prayer is about returning God's word to him, not telling him what you want. He said, come, let's reason together. Remind me of my word. He said, my word does not return to me void. 99.99% of most prayers prayed by people are void of effect. I've had people come and say, Pastor, I've been praying and crying out to God and trying to get him to do this. What have you been trying to get him to do? Heal me. Well, you're a fool. With his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. Why are you trying to get him to do what he said he's already done? Don't you believe him? Oh, yes, I believe God. Then why are you praying nonsense? Asking him to do what he said he did.
Right.
Well, Pastor, I've been praying that God would supply my need. Are you a tither? Why, yes. Are you a giver? Yes. Then tell the need it's a lie and celebrate God's faith. Father, I thank you that my needs are supplied. But Pastor, I'm on a fixed income. No, you're on a broke income. That's the problem. I have said this, and I feel impressed to say it again, because somebody in here is thinking about your work. You could be thinking about my message instead. But I want to say this to you. I've told people, as long as I've been pastoring, don't you ever say ever.
Ever.
Don't you ever accept a job based on what they offer you. Don't you ever do it. Because in a month or two, you're going to ask God to help you break your word to that employer. Why, yes, I'll take that job for $11 an hour. Then a month down the road, you've already went out and got that new TV and you need $12.50 an hour. And you're thinking about that new car, and you're going to need $47.50 an hour. Now you're going to go and ask God, God, get them to give me a raise. But you've already given them your word that you'd work for $11 an hour.
Right.
So now you want God to break your word to your employer? Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Every time when I was taking a job, I would say, that's a nice salary. I don't want to appear ungrateful, but that's a good starting point. But I want you to know right now, that's not what I'm coming here for. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that worked. I went to work at a place once. I'd been working at a place where I would make sometimes $1,200 a day. Now, we're talking 1973, when $1,200 a day was a lot of money because people were working for $112 a week.
Yeah.
And I was making that kind of money, and I went in. They offered me a job. It paid $90 a week. And I said, I'm willing to start there, but that's not what I want. And he said, what do you want? I said, I want to be running this place. I got two raises the first week. In 3 years, I owned the business. Well, Pastor, how do you do that? My God shall supply all of my need. You and God's promises make you an overcomer in every area of your life. But most uninformed, unlearned, untrained Christians are still praying their will. God, I want you to do this. God, I need you to do this. God, would you do that? No. If there's a promise that God has already covered it with, why don't you find the promise?
Amen.
You know how you are when you get something from a credit company or anybody you're doing business with, and they're violating the terms of your agreement. What do? You go back and you get the original agreement, and you come back to them and you say, wait a minute, right here. It says 1.75%, and you're charging me 2.25%. I'm not having it because I've got it right here in writing. How come you're not that smart when you come to church? Father, I thank you. I've got it right here in writing. With the stripes I was healed. Therefore, I'm not putting up with this sickness anymore. I'm not having it. I'm not allowing it. It's not going to happen. You're greater than this sickness, and your word is unchanging, unfailing, ever the same. I am the healed of the Lord. Therefore, sickness, get off me.
Amen.
If you will have faith and not doubt, ask in prayer, and you're not praying until you're returning God's word to Him. You're not praying until you're returning God's word to Him. Well, Pastor, I bless God, I do know how to pray. I've been praying for 40 years. Show me your trophy case. That's all I ask. What have you done with your prayer? Well, I remember back in 1957, I had this prayer, and I know it was answered. Hon, you won't even get in the minor leagues with that batting average. You can't get on a good high school team with that. Ask in accordance with His promises, and you win every time. Believing, all things are possible to them that believe. Will receive, that's a definite article taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Just lay hold of what he said. Go home and read Luke 6, 46, 47. 48, 49. What he says is what you must do. Do what he said. His word applied will change your life. Act on his words. And it says, the wise person dig down through all of the sand to get to the bedrock. That's what going to your new covenant is. Dig down through all the promises to get to the rock of revelation that tells you what you are really looking for. And then he said, understand this. The fact that you build your house on the rock does not exempt you from the flood tide of opposition coming against you. Some people think once I get down to God's word, nothing's going to happen in my life. Hun, the moment Raymond starts believing God in his life, he has just waved a red flag in front of that bull devil. And he's going to come charging you, attacking you. He is the opposer of the brethren. When you stand on the word, you prove yourself to be a brethren. That means he's the opposer. He said he digs down deep, finds the bedrock of revelation, and builds his house on that solid rock. Then when the river floods, his house isn't moved because it's established. There will never be a place you get where you are not tempted, tested, and tried. But understand this. James says, let no man say when he's tempted, tested, and tried that he's tempted, tested, and tried of God. It's just that when you line up with God, Ethel, you become an enemy of the devil. Therefore, the very fact that you made a stand of faith means the devil is going to bring everything he can to see if you're anchored to the rock or not. He said a fool just starts building right on the surface. Well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, therefore everything's got to be good. Trouble's coming and you're going downstream. You're going to be like a lower section of New Orleans, washed out. But if you dig deep and anchor yourself on God said, there can't come a storm big enough to get you off of it. But understand, this is going to come. Since I got out of the hospital, I have numerous times, Brother David, I've heard your heart's beating fast. And I go, no, it's not. I've heard numerous times your thyroid's messing up again. No, it's not. Those things come. Why? If he can get me to doubt, well, let me see. No. With his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. Therefore, being healed, sickness has no place in my life. It doesn't move because anchored to his word, you can withstand any temptation, test, or trial. The fool did not act according to God's word, and his house went downstream. In James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, do the word. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. A lot of people go to church 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and they hear the word, but they don't do the word because they think just sitting under the word is enough. No, it ain't what you heard. It's what changed your life. Because, Patrick, what changes my life changes my circumstance. I have to be a doer of the word. When the word said, with his stripes I was healed, I've got to say, that's God's promise to me. Therefore, I am the healed of the Lord. And this lie is leaving me. Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't go in the first 5 minutes? You don't move. You stay anchored to that promise. I'm the healed of the Lord. And I don't care what my senses tell me, I'm the healed of the Lord. Well, Pastor, that's not easy. That's why not many people are doing it. Too many people are trying to find the easy way. I want the weather the storm way. Because storms are coming. Do the word you hear. Practice his word. The word is a mirror. James, we're still there, chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. The word is a mirror. If you look into that enough that you begin to see yourself in that word, then when you walk away from the mirror, you'll still win. But a lot of people get up in the morning, they look at themselves in the mirror, and they walk out, and you can stop them and go, what's that on your cheek? They are 37 seconds away from the mirror, and what will they do? They'll go back and check their... Why? Because they've forgotten what their cheeks look like. Now, he said, that is the natural tendency of the natural man to see and not see, to hear and not hear, to observe and not be changed by. But he said, when you look into the mirror of the Word,
right,
see yourself healed, so that when somebody goes, "Are you feeling okay? You look a little funny today." You go, "No, I'm the healed of the Lord. I've looked into the mirror, and the mirror said I'm healed. Therefore, I can't be looking funny because I'm looking healed."
Amen.
You looking a little broke? Need a little something? Want to hold a five till Tuesday? No. My God supplies all my need.
Amen.
I got it going on. In fact, I am what's going on, because it is written, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. The word in my mouth makes me an overcomer.
Amen.
Do the word you hear. Practice the word. The word is a mirror. Do you forget how you look in the word? Then go back to the word again until it's etched on your memory, how you look healed, prospered, free, filled with eternal life. Build your retention of seeing yourself healed, whole, rich, blessed, used of God. See you in His promises. See you as a partaker of His divine nature. See you ruling and reigning in life as a king and a priest unto God. Faith lays hold of the intangible things of hope, to bring them into the realm of realized tangibility by acting in alignment with the Word as your new reality. Faith lives only in the now. Hope lives in the past. Hope lives in the future. Faith lives in the now. God's not going to heal me. God's not going to bless me. I am right now. The principles of faith work the same in every stand, whether you're believing God for salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, whether you're believing God for the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, whether you're believing God for healing, 1 Peter 2:24. Finances, Himself became poor that I might become rich. Everything the new covenant promised me came to me in the resurrection. Was He resurrected? Then health belongs to you. Wealth belongs to you. Eternal life belongs to you. Joy, peace, power, might, ability, godliness belong to you because it's in the new covenant.
Yes.
The Word fails not. God fails not. Yeshua fails not. The Holy Spirit is one with the Word. The new covenant is your license to be healed, to be blessed, to be prospered, to be free, to be happy. Prayer does not change God. Faith does not change God. Faith and prayer change things to align with what God has said they are. Stop wasting your faith trying to change God. God, would you? God, could you? God, should you? No. God, you said it. I believe it. Therefore, it's coming to pass in my life.
Amen.
Amen. I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Wealthy of mind, of spirit, of body, of finances. Wealthy in influence. Wealthy in ability. Wealthy in power and purpose. Why? Because my word says He gives me the desires of my heart. And it's my desire to pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church. So what's your job? Believe, receive, and agree. Yes, we are the wealthiest people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Our health, our wealth, our joy, our peace, our power, our might, our ability is beyond normal definition. A great writer once said, "The world has yet to see what the life of one person totally committed to God can do." I'm believing you're going to be those people. They'll be totally committed to God said and refuse to let anything reflect on you but God said.
Amen.
Don't be like the person that looks in the mirror only enough to see if everything looks good. And then they leave and you go, which side of your head is your hair parted on? If you say that to most people, they'll go, because they don't remember. You've been parting your hair on the same side for 47 years, and when asked the question, you have to look to see. Somebody says, does your nose lean to the left or right? How many hours have you spent looking at yourself in the mirror? And somebody can say to you, how long have you had that mole? And you go, mole? I've got a mole? You see, it's a simple verse. The natural tendency of the natural man is only to look in the mirror enough to see if they think they're okay. Oh, yeah, he went there. And he made it plain. The natural tendency is to look in the mirror only long enough to make sure everything's okay and then go. And in a few minutes, you've forgotten everything about your face and yourself. But he said, you don't look in the Word, the mirror of the Word, that way. You look deep into it until it changes the way you see you, so that you leave that mirror fully equipped by it to face every challenge of life. Because we are surface readers, we don't read deep into that and get what it meant. And I've had people go, what do you think that mirror stuff means? It is a life picture of your normal pursuit. You go to the mirror and look only long enough and deep enough to assure yourself that you're okay to go out. But if you were handed a piece of paper and a pencil, you couldn't draw you. Why? You're not thoroughly acquainted with you. In fact, the first person walks up to you can change your opinion of you simply by going, something's different. And you go, it is? You were 5 minutes ago in the mirror and you don't know nothing's changed? And so we are about the things of God, Phoebe. We look just into the Word enough to feel good about us. Yeah, I think I'm still saved. Yeah. I feel pretty good about me. Are you sick? What? Why would you say that? It don't matter why they would say that. Yours, no, I'm the healed of the Lord. It is written, with his stripes I was healed. I refuse to allow sickness to live in this body, because this body is blood-bought and resurrection-filled.
Praise God.
From this day forward, I want you to look into the mirror of the Word and see you defined, healed, saved, filled, anointed, empowered, blessed, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when one of those strongholds comes up and goes, Judith, you go, no.
Mm-mm. That's right.
Talk to the hand. Wait, I'm going to put you on hold. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Then receive this. By and through the name and the blood of the Lamb, as a king and a priest unto God, I decree that you are blessed in your mind and your spirit and your body, in your family and your finances. Everything you set your hand to prospers. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but in everything you are more than a conqueror, being infused with wisdom and knowledge from the depth of God's promises that transforms your understanding and causes you to walk in the ability of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. From this day forward, you will lack no good thing, but in everything you will stand triumphant as a conqueror and a king, ruling and reigning from the authority of God's new covenant promises to you. And the people said,
amen.
You are the blessed of the Lord.